I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All right, I do want to get to the latest right now coming in out of the north as the Israel Defense Forces released video a short time ago. Take a look at your screen showing Israeli fighter jets striking Hezbollah military structures overnight in Lebanon. The IDF saying the strikes are in retaliation for the terror group's rocket and drone attacks on civilians there in northern Israel. A drone attack earlier in the week in northern Israel killed an Israeli reservist and injured at least 10 other people. And now, Israel's top military general in the north says the army is ready to wage war on the Hezbollah terror group if need be.
If need be, and it's becoming increasingly evident, it will be need be. That's a report from Fox earlier today about how Israel is beginning to ramp up retaliation against Hezbollah operating mostly out of Lebanon. This is, again, another powder keg that's already been lit. We just see how fast the fuse is going to burn. We got a lot to cover for you for the next 2 hours. Glad to have you with us. Here we are, June 7, 2024. And before we wrap up today's program, I have a couple of remarks I want to share with you regarding yesterday, D-Day for Normandy, as our troops went ashore June 6, 1944. So there's something special I want to share regarding that before we wrap up today's program. And, of course, I remind you that when we're on the air, Monday through Friday for you, right here on Newstalk STL, from 6 to 8 p.m., when we're on the air, you can also watch the program as it's underway. You go to Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, or Newstalk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. If you miss anything and you want to go back and pull it up and listen or watch again and also share, I always encourage you to share. You go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook. Everything is branded Larry Connors USA. It's impossible to miss us, and I thank you for your continued support and the way you are sharing these videos and audio podcasts with others. It multiplies quickly with your help. I do want to take one moment to remind you quickly that you need to put this on your calendar if you haven't already. June 25, we are hosting Saving America 2024. Focusing on the economy and the courts. Our guest from the Heritage Foundation will be Joel Griffith, which, by the way, he should be joining us Monday. That's on the schedule at this point. And also Zach Smith, a legal expert for the Heritage Foundation. June 25th, St. Charles Funny Bone. I can get you free tickets. I can get you free tickets. And you do need a ticket to get in the door. And here's how you get that free ticket. Our tickets. You go to NewstalkSTL.com. NewstalkSTL.com. This is again June 25. This will be taking place 2 days before the first scheduled presidential debate between Trump and Biden, June 27. And we will be having a debate watch party at Johnny's Hideout on that date. So we'll fill you in on that as we move forward. Back to today's events. If the Israeli leaders are watching how Hezbollah continues to escalate and begin to continue to hit some of the northern part of Israel, they're not just going to simply take the hits over and over again. So the question to be raised for Israel, and it's a very legitimate question, and on one hand I can give you the answer right away, and that is Israel ready for war?
That's one of the main options that's on the table. Therefore, you see that IDF is preparing for the past few months for that situation. And apparently we're getting closer. I don't really buy the 15th of June we're going to war rumors, But is Israel prepared to go to war? Yes, definitely. I think it's one of the clear options that we have. It's one of the best ways, it's a sad thing to say, to eliminate the threat of Hezbollah from the north. Hezbollah has escalated in the past month, especially May versus April is very clear, doubling the number of UAVs, aerial attacks, doubling the number of anti-tank missiles, both challenging the Iron Dome and having a lot of success against our people.
That's Avril Lavigne speaking on behalf of the Israelis that, yes, we're ready. They're already at war with Hamas, obviously, and other terrorist groups, but to go specifically to war against Hezbollah, the date June 15th has been floated around. But as he said, I would not hold to that date, but it depends upon what Hezbollah does. Now, maybe they realize, oh, they're already talking tough, the Israelis, and we see what they did to Gaza. Maybe we should not punch the bear anymore, but they may well do it. So if they decide to go ahead and go after Hezbollah wherever they're located, what would be the response of Hezbollah? How would they start responding?
All targets are open, whereas right now they're maintaining their target area to the northern front, 5-10 kilometers from Lebanon, and trying to hit mostly military targets, about 50-55% military targets, and the rest are civilian targets, but mostly in areas evacuated from civilians, or at least 80-90% of civilians. Once we go to a full-scale war, Haifa, Sfat, Tveria, and obviously the Holy Grail would be somewhere around Tel Aviv. On our side, it would mean a ground maneuver, an invasion into South Lebanon, hitting Hezbollah in their own court, and not only artillery and accurate strikes like we're doing right now.
Those would accelerate. But he's right. If Hezbollah decides to accelerate at their end, they'll be doing what they can to reach Jerusalem, Tel Aviv. We need to be in prayer about this, that this does not continue to escalate. But when you're dealing with terrorists and a jihadist approach to wipe out anyone that is not their religion and conforming to Sharia law as they see it, plus their desire, their innate desire to destroy Jerusalem and kill all Jews and behind them Americans, it is going to take more than prayer. It's going to take some action, and not just idle threats, and Israel does not make idle threats. Against this backdrop, if it comes June 15, this might change what I'm getting ready to tell you. It might be delayed until after that. It might happen on this very date. I'm talking about July 24. What is July 24? July 24, Benjamin Netanyahu is due to arrive in the States for a joint meeting with Congress. Chris Livesay from CBS News.
It is a bipartisan visit, but the big question is whether or not he's actually going to meet with President Biden. It's a very awkward time for the two to be in the same city at the same time. If Biden does choose to meet with him, what is that going to look like? Does he smile when he meets Benjamin Netanyahu, or does he scowl at him because of the ongoing rift that exists between the White House and Netanyahu's conduct of this war? And does he want to risk alienating the moderates or the conservatives in the United States just before an election? It's a very, very big question, especially as we have President Biden now starting to worry about what the relationship is going to be like with his presumed opponent in the next presidential election, former President Donald Trump.
Oh, it's more than presumed. It will be Donald Trump. A convicted felon, as the left will remind you. A badge he wears proudly. But the key here is the timing. This is scheduled July 24. What happens between Israel and Hezbollah between now and then could dramatically change events. And when Netanyahu comes to America, no doubt Trump will schedule a meeting with him because they would both like to see each other. And last night, Trump held his first rally since being convicted in the New York City trials. They were holding it in Phoenix. Actually, it was inside the Phoenix Dream City Church, a massive facility. But getting inside took time because of security needs and precautions, and so many showed up. It was a slow process. Temperatures were 110, and folks were still outside waiting to get in. There were a dozen reported cases of heat exhaustion. But I'm looking at a report from the Huffington Post, and they say multiple cases of people falling down because of the heat waiting to hear Trump. I just gave you a precise number, a dozen. My number might be closer to 11 or 13, to be honest, but multiple indicates to me massive numbers above 12, does it not to you? The Huffington Post knows that, and every reporter that claims to be factual and accurate, they throw these numbers in like they'll say thousands for some event, and it's 2,500. Well, when you hear say thousands, I envision tens or twenties of thousands. But multiple suffered heat exhaustion waiting to get in and hear Trump. But when they got inside, they were primed to hear Donald Trump.
I just went through a rigged trial in New York with a highly conflicted, and I mean highly conflicted, judge, where there was no crime. It was made up, fabricated stuff. They didn't want to bring the case. They could have brought the case 7 years ago. It's only when you run for office they bring cases. But they would have done that 7 years ago thing, not in the middle of my presidential campaign, where we're beating Biden, by the way, by a lot. Did you see? And by the way, right after the announcement of this, more campaign funds were given to this campaign than any campaign they think in history. Almost $400 million. $400 million.
And at least a third, as of the early count, came from folks who had never contributed to any political campaign before. And these new surveys that are out that Trump was referring to, I want to break them down for you before this hour is out in more detail. But also I want to share with you, of course, the issue is Joe Biden wanted a very controlled environment for the debates. And Trump said, I'm sure they thought I would say I'm not going to yield and deal with those kinds of demands. Before we get into those, I want to share with you what the White House staff and those surrounding Biden are trying to tell you, and this is a story they're peddling. To use the quote, the president is utterly on his game. He is the wisest, most knowledgeable person in the room. Who said that? You think it would be someone listed as anonymous? No, actually. It actually came from Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm. She said this article that recently came out from the Wall Street Journal portraying Biden as mentally slipping and quoting some anonymous Democrat sources say, yeah, we don't see him as he was earlier. It takes 15 minutes to get a meeting started because he got to walk around the room greeting everyone. He's doing it deliberately, patiently, slowly. And then when he gets just talking, we can barely hear him. We got to lean in. But, of course, they were not being identified. But Jennifer Granholm says that article was BS. Now, again, this is the Energy Secretary, Jennifer Granholm, who, by the way, was making a lot of money on the push for electric vehicles. Of course, she had to divest herself of that. But that doesn't mean as we push for climate change and pushing electric vehicles that when she comes out of office, she can't get right back into it and deal with what she got. I don't know if she put it into trust. She sold it. I don't know how she did it. I could care less. But her comments here, her comments I'm going to read to you. They're staggering. She says, the president is utterly on his game. He is the wisest, most knowledgeable person in the room. He asks the toughest questions. He has the keenest insights on the complex questions brought to him. He is sharp, thoughtful, and wise. And Jennifer Granholm is an idiot. That's my addition. But again, back to the debate issue. And Trump said, they thought they would trap me. It didn't work.
They offered me this debate, and they thought I wouldn't take it because it's on CNN. It's fake Tapper. Does anyone know him? Fake Tapper. They wanted it to be sitting down, seated, and zero audience. And they wanted it to be short, also very short. And I said, I'll take it. Because you know what? They thought I wouldn't take it. Being on CNN... And Dana Bash is very tough to Trump. Dana Bash, another beauty. So I have Dana Bash and fake Tapper. And they thought, here's what we'll do. We'll offer him the worst thing that could be offered. These two anchors, Dana Bash, fake Tapper, CNN, no audience, nobody. Your children, your wife, nobody can be there. Oh, that's going to be interesting for him, though, isn't it? Nobody can be there. And they want you sitting down. So I said, I'll take it. They thought what was going to happen is that I'd say, I won't do it. And then they'll say, Trump doesn't want a debate. I want a debate. We should have many debates, frankly. You really should. Because we have to find out why they like open borders where people pour in from. Right, Paul? Why do they? Who could like an open border?
Who could like an open border? And, of course, now Biden's got a plan in place to squeeze it tighter. We're going to let him in, but only so many a day. If you, and he said he could do nothing in the beginning, recall, saying there's nothing I can do. Well, he signed an executive order when he first got into office to overturn Trump's order on remain in Mexico while we process your asylum case. Because you can come here for asylum. That's a legitimate claim, but it's got to be legitimate. He did, by executive order, cancel that. Then claimed he couldn't do anything else about the border. And then suddenly, as we get closer to the election time and they realize this thing is biting us in the butt, I'll sign an executive order saying, we're only going to let so many in. And then we'll shut the border down for a few days. And then a few more can come in. That's assuming that those folks are going to continue to go through the ports he's designated. In the next hour, the Trump VP announcement, could we be getting closer to that? Could we be getting closer? We have to be getting closer, but how soon, and could it happen within weeks? Before this hour is over, a close and revealing view of the latest Trump-Biden polls I was discussing, something very wrong inside the Biden camp, and I mean really wrong. Kellyanne Conway, former counsel for Trump when he was president, and also a political analyst, will review that for us. What could be wrong other than Joe Biden himself? A lot. We'll break it down for you. That'll be before this hour is over. Coming up, a major pro-life organization has an issue with Trump and his anti-abortion stance. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. 4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
If you haven't been to Lit Cigar Lounge in the District at Chesterfield, you're missing a great experience. Premium cigars, drinks, spacious seating, TVs in every direction. This and more explain why Lit was voted Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Now you can be at Lit and order Napoli Brothers pizza and pasta delivered to you. In fact, Napoli's just a few doors down, a coal-fired oven giving a unique taste. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the Chesterfield District.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on numerous times before and always brings a lot to the table for us. He is the CEO and president of 40 Days for Life. It is a Christian advocacy group, obviously, that is very big on protecting the unborn. Sean Carney, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Well, there's an issue we have discussed before, but I'm seeing it begin to ramp up again. Monday, Trump is to meet virtually, basically, with the Danbury Institute. Now, that's a Christian advocacy group that advocates for a complete ban on abortions. That's more stringent than Trump's position. Where does this stand with 40 Days for Life between Trump and the Danbury Institute?
Well, it's great, and it shows that the lie that was put out about Trump, which is he doesn't care, it goes back to the states, and he'll do nothing in a second term for the pro-life movement, was total BS. To say that things are not always on the table for Donald Trump is to be the most naive human being on earth.
So I agree.
I'm glad he's meeting with them, and it shows he's open to all options.
But it's been pointed out as well, and you and I have had this discussion, Trump's position as expressed currently does not meet even what 40 Days for Life wants. And in fact, a political article had pointed out that he's disappointed a lot in the pro-life movement, despite Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, I think that'll go away as the election gets closer as far as the broader pro-life movement. I mean, for 40 Days for Life, we obviously, you know, want what Justice Thomas wanted, which is to recognize all humans under the 14th Amendment. And obviously the country's not there yet. And so Trump is just part of that. He's not there yet. That's probably where we're headed. I don't know if that's a decade or two decades, but we're not going to go back to having free states and slave states by having abortion free states where you're a human in Texas, but you're not in Sacramento, California. So that inconsistency is going to take time to work itself out. What is good about Trump is the pro-life movement elected him in 2016 because that election was about the courts. He delivered, and I just think it's hard being mad at your favorite uncle. And the pro-life movement, I think, will come around.
Well, let me break it down more detail. Yeah, I like your analogy between we're not going back to slavery, and some states will have it, and some won't reference abortion. Trump deciding at this point not to push for a federal abortion ban. Let me get you on the record again on that. Where do you stand on that? Should we have a federal abortion ban, total, no exceptions, as I assume you would prefer?
Well, obviously, I think that there should be, but that should go through the Constitution. That would need to go through the Constitution, which is already in there, that we have not only a right to life in the Declaration of Independence, but the 14th Amendment and the Constitution.
You're relying on the same parts of the Constitution the pro-abortionists were relying on, a woman's right to make her own decision.
No, because that wasn't in the Constitution, which is why the Supreme Court overturned Roe. It's just that the Supreme Court didn't.
The abortion wasn't in there, but the right to your life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness is.
Right to life. And that the problem with just making that up is it's not based on facts or science or biology. And so there's so much precedent protecting unborn children in our country. That's why we put Scott Peterson on death row in California.
We just ripped the federal abortion from the Constitution, and as it was, quote, law of the land, we've given it back to the states. Putting it back in the federal hands, if that's what you think would be better, does that not open up the door? Well, they'll just flip that around again.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we don't have to put it anywhere. It's already in there, and it's only a matter of time until we recognize that obviously we protect unborn children in our country all the time. We don't even allow pregnant women to get on a freaking roller coaster. And so we, of course, do that. We're just inconsistent now that it's between the states. And I don't think that that's going to work long term. It's too inconsistent. And so I do want to say, since you asked me about this, I support Trump not advocating for a ban because he's not going to get a ban that anybody's happy with. And I think his idea of a 15-week ban was so stupid. I'm so glad that he bailed on it. I think he was pressured by other people to do it, and he did not do it. The first time Trump says, I support whatever abortion ban, he'll get killed. Number one, he won't win over one independent or Democrat. Also, they'll say, well, he wants to ban all abortion. And I think it would hurt him politically. And that matters. He's a politician. He's gonna take political angles. So I think politically that was smart. And he's just not gonna get a ban that the pro-life movement likes. He's certainly not gonna get a ban that the left likes. They want abortions at 40 weeks.
We've been down this road before again. For the audience that's missed it, and you express yourself very well. Sean Carney, CEO, president of 40 Days for Life. And I'd raised the question previously, how much do you guys have to bend to accept that Trump is not going to push for a total ban and that you're willing to kind of go along to get along, basically?
We don't have to bend at all. I don't think most pro-life people do. I mean, it's president. We're stuck with the two same candidates. One is extremely pro-abortion, and one was the most pro-life president in the history of our country based on his record alone. So I don't think it's a difficult choice.
And yet it's still short of what you want.
Yeah, well, that's what makes America awesome, because we get what we want and we want more, and that's why we're not Europe yet.
Do you believe that let me correct that. I know you believe that allowing states to set their own policies is a more effective approach, and yet I'm still hearing you say that if we could have a federal ban on abortion, it'd be better yet.
Of course, because we're in limbo, right? So these states, right, let's just take the Constitution, that are winning in the pro-abortion favor. It's an inappropriate vote. We don't get to put whether Puerto Ricans are Americans on the ballot in Florida or California. We don't get to put whether blacks or Asians or white teenagers are people. And when you vote on whether somebody's a person or person, it's inappropriate. You need an overall governing document to correct yourself, and ours is called the Constitution, and we're all protected under the 14th Amendment.
Well, the Danbury Institute, again, advocates for a complete ban on abortions.
So did Justice Thomas. the whole consensus was it was too much too soon. You know, I mean, that's not law. That's where the Supreme Court kind of folded. If you look at it, like they're supposed to close the blinds and just, you know, interpret law. You would easily just say, well, when does life begin? That's when we have to protect it. And that would be conception. But they didn't do that. They sent it back to the states. I think that was pretty predictable, that they weren't going to just recognize the unborn and ban it altogether under the 14th Amendment. And so that's where we are. We're kind of in limbo, and we're figuring it out. And I'm saying long term, it's going to be hard to escape the biological reality of the unborn child.
So we're 2 years plus since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. Is that about right? My timetable
yes.
close? Okay. How many children do you estimate or have you documented have been born that might have been aborted? And I'm not talking about kids that were just born, but the parents that were considering abortion and then decided maybe for simple and the most basic sanctity of life, or maybe because it was too hard to go to the next state or whatever to get an abortion. How many kids might have been saved so far?
Yeah, well, I know here in Texas it's over 300,000 since we had the heartbeat bill going back a few years before the overturning of Roe. But nationally, this is somewhat comical and common sense, the birth rate is going up because if you don't have an abortion, the baby lives. Because abortion kills a baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's more babies being born, and apparently women aren't robots that are just, you know, manufactured and trained to magnetically go to abortion clinics and have abortion. They do think about it, and when it was overturned, they thought about it a lot, and they questioned it, as did the women who had abortions years ago because it was legal. Now they question it.
And there's increasing use of ordering by mail abortion drugs.
That's still a pilot program. People think that's going on like in all states, and it's not. And a lot of states regulate it, but right. That is happening, and that's definitely going to be the future. But that's not a gimme. That is a horrible word of mouth reputation, because the women that do it, they pass the baby in their apartment or at the prom or in a shopping mall, and it's absolutely tragic and scarring. So the women that have those abortions aren't exactly waving, you know, the banner for it afterwards.
Yeah, but I can't imagine the trauma, but I will say this. It's my prayer every night that from these children that women were either thinking about getting an abortion or will in the future and they don't, from these children, God raises up new religious and other world leaders we need. Who knows how many we have lost over the decades.
Well, we know we've aborted 74 million since 1973. And, you know, the other thing you're asking about, you know, not only the birth rate, we've closed abortion facilities in New York and California since the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
This is market driven now, and that's where we can win until we get our act together at the federal level.
And I want to hear stories in the future that I would have been aborted, but I'm here and I'm serving as a, you know, a new president and bringing new things and inventions, things that we've lost. I want to thank you very much, Sean, for your time, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Enjoy. Have a blessed weekend. Sean Carney, 40 Days for Life. Coming up, this is one of these things about the polls that are happening, and they're all over the place, and one report will blow you away.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beal knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Hey, this is a great time to get fantastic deals at Ackerman Toyota, number one volume dealer in the area. Why? Very simple. They want to make you happy. They'll come up with a deal that puts you in the driver's seat. You'll be smiling as you drive off the lot. You got a trade-in? You're going to get top dollar from Ackerman. Looking for a premium used car truck? Ackerman is the answer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in the mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
My sponsor, McGuire Moving, has job openings for drivers and movers offering competitive pay. You can be off every night if you want or on the road. You're off every other weekend. Full benefits, insurance, paid vacations. But McGuire is a very good company. So here's a very important requirement. You must excel in making customers happy. Full or part-time job? More information, go to McGuireMoving.com. Apply online at McGuireMoving.com/careers.
This is News Talk STL.
Boom, 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 boom. Gonna shoot your eye down. Take you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
New Fox News polls reveal former President Trump leading President Biden in Nevada, in Arizona, and in Florida. And the two are tied in the usually blue state of Virginia. Voters in all four states say they trust former President Trump over President Biden on handling both the economy as well as immigration. Meanwhile, President Biden shares his thoughts on the upcoming debate with former President Trump last night in an ABC interview. Watch this.
Things he said are off the wall. I want to be a dictator on day one. I want to move in a direction where he talks about, you know, suspending the Constitution. All I have to do is hear what he says. Remind people what he says and what I believe and what he believes. He's about him. I'm about the country.
Well, no, Joe Biden, you're not about the country because you open our border to invaders. And you're just now beginning to kind of constrict it a bit. Because you realize this is going to hurt me at the election polls. And there's another story that goes with this, by the way. Some are saying, you know why? He doesn't mind shutting it off now and maybe drawing the ire of the true leftists, the regressive progressives or progressive regressives. He's got enough votes inside the country now that will work for him. They're not supposed to be able to vote. But they're all being given packets wherever they're sent, and in there is a form to file for an application to vote. And if they fill it out and then they vote, the word came down the other day that, well, if they vote, it's illegal, but if they can say, I don't know, I thought I was allowed to vote. They gave me the We're going to have to be so careful in this election, as we all of them going forward. I mean, we're at a real big tilting point here and have been for some time as to if this nation truly is going to rely upon voters and not bureaucrats dictating who's going to get into office. And then to counter what Maria was talking about, the Fox polls looking very good for Trump, let me share a couple other views for you. Could always try to give you some balance, and then you can make up your own mind. But I'm looking at a piece from The Hill. Publication primarily leads to the left. It is reporting on events around the Congressional Hill and so forth. Trump lead over Biden slips after former president's conviction, according to some of their polling. And then there's another poll that says 40% in new poll say that Trump should be sentenced to prison in the hush money case. See, if wearing a sign that says convicted felon, I'm voting for a convicted felon, or I've got another 34 reasons now to vote for a convicted felon, Those are all Trump supporters of all colors and gender. And there are only two genders and religions and ethnicities. And yet I'm seeing the left continue. Well, we got to put polls out that say otherwise. Kellyanne Conway served as a counselor for Trump when he was in office and also has become a political analyst as her husband, ex-husband now. I don't even know where they stand in the relationship, could care less. But if she got rid of him, George Conway, good. She should have. I don't know how they ever got together to begin with. That's one of those matches made. I don't know where it got made or how it got made, but it looked like prearranged for some reason. Bottom line is Kellyanne Conway and her view of the latest Fox News polls.
Something remarkable is going on here. In the more ethnically diverse states, President Trump is busting through 50% in the new Fox News polling. So, for example, in Nevada, it's about 51% of white-only households. Arizona, about 60%. And yet, they're a little bit more neck and neck in the more white states. Wisconsin, 80% white-only. So the irony for Joe Biden, who served with Barack Obama, is serving with Kamala Harris. And the Democratic Party that swears it's for minorities, it's for young people, it's for union households. He is seeing this attrition and erosion and migration away from the Democratic Party among these core constituencies. Why is this relevant? Well, secretly, some Democratic consultants now are saying we need to get more of the white vote.
They need to get more of the white vote. Well, you remember the Seinfeld episodes. I hope you do. And George and Kramer and Seinfeld, they have all the things going along, and then suddenly George is not getting the things he thought he should be getting in life and everything. He said, George's world is turning upside down. Biden's world is turning upside down. Now they're worried about, do we have enough white vote? Which, by the way, am I dating myself when I refer to Seinfeld episodes? I'm talking to a young woman at an establishment last night. It's all proper. Don't get anything on your mind here. And I mentioned something about Seinfeld, and she said, "What?" I said, "The Jerry Seinfeld show." She said, "Well, that's before my time. I don't know." Now, that tells you, Larry, who the hell are you talking to? Well, we were just visiting. I was introduced to her. I didn't ask her age or anything. I said, "Okay." It kind of told me I must be an old person. I disagree. I told her, said, you can watch them. They're available right now. I mean, you can still watch Woody Woodpecker cartoons on some channels. Not that I would, but give me a break. It's before my time. That got me shut up, didn't it? Quit laughing out there. I can hear you laughing even as I'm trying to continue. So Kellyanne Conway says the Bidens are now suddenly worried. Where's the white vote we thought for sure we would have? And then she expands even more on that point.
Secretly, some Democratic consultants now are saying we need to get more of the white vote. I mean, imagine that they're banking on Joe Biden winning Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania and trying to get more of the white vote. I am stunned by the underlying demographic crosstabs in the Nevada and Arizona study. Quickly, in Nevada, Joe Biden is winning union households by 1 point. He carried them by 15 points, Bill, in 2020. Nevada has the highest foreclosures in the country, along with Washington, D.C., in California. It has the highest unemployment rate, particularly in the hospitality sector, which of course fuels the economy in Nevada. Nevada has not gone Republican presidentially since 2004. So this is a big deal that President Trump is above 50%. The other thing I would say to that is the only state in the country that watched a Democrat to Republican flip with the governorship in 2022. So this has been going that way for a while.
Going that way for a while, and do you see it stopping tomorrow? No, of course it won't. The constrictions that Joe Biden is now putting at the border, will that slow the mass onslaught down? Maybe. Or they'll just go around it. And talking about how the economy is affected by the service industries and so forth, and how that has ripple effects, I'm looking at a report from the New York Times citing data from CoStar. I don't know anything about CoStar, but the New York Times is citing them in talking about the cost of a hotel room has hit a record high in New York City. You know why? in part due to the ongoing migrant crisis, squeezing the number of hotel rooms available for tourists. If you're going to New York City, and if you can, you're going to go as cheap as you can, and you want a nice place, a safe place, not roach-infested, but at the same time, you're not going to be staying at the Waldorf. If you are, great, nice place to stay, but it's pretty expensive. But they're saying the average daily rate for a hotel stay in New York City increased about 8.5%. It now costs minimum of $300 for one night in New York City. And that's before taxes, tourism tax, city tax, New York State tax, and so forth. And it's because of the crisis. There are so many illegals now in New York, they've had to open up hotels and say, sell us some rooms at a great discount so we can house illegals. That means the tourists are left out. And then there's another part, Kellyanne Conway points out, that exists in these polls, and this is another surprise.
The gender gap is real, but guess what, Bill? It's not just Trump with women. Biden is having a devil of a time winning the male vote. Biden's gender gap with men is scary. He's losing men by 18 points in Nevada to Joe Biden, where Trump is trailing women by about 9 points. So people love to talk about the gender gap. They love to talk about suburban women. Mm-hmm. Got news for you. Men live in the suburbs too. And Joe Biden is not, he's underperforming among his core constituencies from 2020.
Yeah. And on top of that, again, they're going to tell you whatever they think you will buy. We're ahead in the polls. I just read the piece from The Hill that said, points that Trump's lead over Biden is slipping because he's been convicted. And, of course, sometimes that comes back to bite him in the butt, doesn't it? You can make what you want of these latest surveys, but it's clear that some on the left are suffering TDS, Trump derangement syndrome, especially at leftist state-controlled media and outlets. That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone. Or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And the irony here, I mean, let's step back for a minute and think about this. It's a gun charge. Now, understand that what the Republicans want to do is allow everyone to buy guns everywhere without ever having to tell the federal government anything.
Right.
They are so totally opposed to the idea that the federal government gets to know anything about them and their gun purchases. They don't believe in the law that he is being prosecuted under.
As if they don't really believe in it? Of course they believe in it. What do we tell them every time they want more gun control laws? Enforce the laws you have. But they want to turn that around. It's another example of Trump derangement syndrome. Now, yesterday, I played you a clip of Congressman Byron Donalds, castigating a man who had called him out for saying that he thought Jim Crow laws were good. I didn't give you the full story because I had too many things on my plate because we were focusing a lot on D-Day. But if you had a chance, and I hope you do often, listen to Speaker Tim Jones and Chris Arp's program right before my program. And Chris yesterday brought up the same story and gave you a more complete story than I did. Kudos to him. But just in case you missed it, I think it's worth going through again. It's this argument, this blowback from Congressman Donalds started because Congressman Hakeem Jeffries made this ridiculous statement.
Mr. Speaker, it's come to my attention that a so-called leader has made the factually inaccurate statement that black folks were better off during Jim Crow. That's an outlandish, outrageous, and out-of-pocket observation. We would not better off when a young boy named Emmett Till could be brutally murdered without consequence because of Jim Crow. We would not better off when black women could be sexually assaulted without consequence because of Jim Crow. We would not better off when people could be systematically lynched without consequence because of Jim Crow. We would not better off when children could be denied a high-quality education without consequence because of Jim Crow. We were not better off when people could be denied the right to vote without consequence because of Jim Crow. How dare you make such an ignorant observation? You better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah. Hakeem Jeffries, congressman from Brooklyn. And he was referring to something Congressman Byron Donalds had said. And Donalds flashed right back.
We've reached a point where you can't even talk about how they're censoring you without them censoring you. I think Dave Chappelle was right when he said, it shouldn't be this dangerous to talk. So what is it exactly that the lovers of censorship want from us?
Well, that was Byron Donalds responding. But what he had made clear that he's just talking about how many Americans were living and stuck under Jim Crow is what he was trying to say. Not saying it was better, except of the fact that families were more coherent and together at that time. Before we wrap up this hour, I want to take you back to yesterday. And my boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago pulled something up I had heard about before, but never had taken time to review. I regret I hadn't. But that Eisenhower, General Eisenhower, overseeing D-Day and Normandy, had an alternate speech prepared in case it all failed. Imagine that. He wrote this letter stating, our landings have failed to gain a satisfactory foothold, and I have withdrawn the troops. My decision to attack at this time and place was based upon the best information available. The troops, the air, and the Navy did all of that bravery and devotion to duty could do. If any blame or fault attaches to the attempt, it is mine alone. Signed, General Eisenhower, ready to accept and have a backup statement. And he actually dated the letter July 5 by mistake when it should have been June 5. But he was ready to say, give me the blame, and I'm sorry for the loss of our lives. You don't want to miss our second hour. More votes and polls. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.